My next guest is Barbara Corcoran. You all know her as one of the sharks on ABC's hit TV show Shark Tank. Barbara Corcoran's credentials include, I'm sure she's proud of this, straight D's in high school and college, and 20 jobs by the time she turned 23. But it was her next job that would make her one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the country when she took a $1,000 loan to start the Corcoran Group. Barbara's joining me right now. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, Steve, for having me over. I appreciate it.
You know, you're no stranger to starting from nothing. I interviewed Damon John a few months ago, and his start was...
I love that Damon. I love him. He's my favorite.
Yeah. He was great. It was a great interview. And, you know, his beginning was as humble as yours. He started out in Hollis, Queens with literally nothing. How did you get going?
I got going because I did have a lucky break when I was 23 at that diner one night when a customer walked in and asked to sit at my counter, which was just potluck. He could have sat at the other one. And he became my boyfriend. I had never had a boyfriend before. And he offered me a ride home that night. And a year later, he said to me, with your big personality, you'd be great at real estate. And he offered to give me $1,000 to start a brokerage firm. And that's how I got my start. It was certainly good luck. I like to think I earned the luck because I worked so hard. I probably worked harder by the time I was 23 than most people work by the time they're 63. But it was second nature. And I just felt like that was just a lucky break.
So did you think he was crazy or did something inside you say, you know, I guess I got nothing to lose here. I'm a waitress at a diner. Let's go for it and see what happens.
No, I didn't think he was crazy at all, Steve. I thought to myself, hey, why not? I've tried everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my fair share of failure, both in school as a dunce. So anything outside the classroom in my book was okay with me. Just let me out of that jailhouse where I could function, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned that your dad had worked as a foreman and kind of hated his job, and you saw this person you were dating now as having money and seemingly happy. You thought, hey, why not?
Yeah, why not? You know, sadly for my dad, he would have been probably a good entrepreneur, but he had 10 mouths to feed in a two-bedroom flat. You know, so that really was the one time that he did go in business for himself. The very first check he received was for $1,000. And in those days, picture that. I mean, so many years ago, that's today the equivalent of getting a $20,000 check.
Yeah.
And what do you think my brilliant dad did? He showed it to everyone at the dinner table. We passed it around. Everybody got to look at it. He cashed it, and we went on vacation and blew money. I mean, not the best formula for success or prudence.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's still my memory of the entire best week of my life, as it is for all my nine siblings. So maybe he did the wise thing. He gave us that memory instead of a business for himself.
Well, that's great. But, you know, after some while, you got dumped by your boyfriend, and he owned 51.
The word dumped?
What's that?
He just had second thoughts. He was dumped.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to marry your secretary.
Yeah, he did. He told me he was marrying my secretary. I guess that's called being dumped, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
But he had 51% of your business, so how come you just didn't fold and walk away?
You know, I didn't have the confidence to fold and walk away. After all, remember, he found me at the diner. He took me out of my little town of Edgewater. He said he believed in me. He became my mentor. He was my partner. He was 10 years older than me. And he moved me to New York City out of the little town in New Jersey. So in my warped sense of reality, I thought that he had made me, as though my parents had nothing to do with me. Of course, they were the ones who actually made me and taught me the gumption I would later need. But with that kind of thinking, I thought I would be nothing without him. And he traded me in for a younger model, so my ego was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in the sales pit with my salespeople because his new wife moved into my seat and shared his office. So it was insult after insult. So with that kind of self-selected kind of self-beating of my own brain, I guess, I didn't have the gumption to stand up for myself. It took me a year, but once I did, it was great. I just walked in one Friday morning and said, hey, guess what? We're chopping up the business today. You take the first salesperson pick, I'll pick the second. We chopped it 14 people in half. And I started a new business that following Monday. And so I was a little slow on the uptake, but I got it done. And in the end, that's all that really counts.
Yeah. So would you say that, you know, we all have to deal with rejection and handle it? I know you have some thoughts on business and rejection. Was that kind of your first big test, you think?
No, my first big test certainly happened in first grade when Sister Stella Marie, the nun from hell, called me stupid just because I couldn't learn to read or write. I didn't learn until I was in seventh grade. So I went through school as a stupid dunce kid who had to read out loud and learning shame in the classroom. And that's a horrific thing to put a child through. And I didn't know it then because it was so injured. It hurt so badly. But I learned later that was perfect training for going into business. I mean, I could be a loser in any situation, be an underdog, be insulted, be kicked, be laughed at. And I've been there before. It's like, oh, it's second nature. I'm used to being an outsider. Mm. And if you're going to build a business, it's a great power you have. If you could really just take the strength from inside you. So when I'm fumbling for confidence, which I did for the first 2 years on Shark Tank, I could barely speak up. I don't know, by the way, if anyone noticed, because the men overpowered me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I learned to speak up, because I had to pull down inside myself, because I'd been there before. You know, it's just another version of the same old crap that I had lived again and again in many situations. And so it becomes second nature getting through failure, really. And now it's interesting. Every one of my usually successful entrepreneurs have the gift of getting through failure. They are great as losers, basically. They're good losers, you know? And they have the great ability to think faster on their feet and change with whatever obstacles are flying up in their face. And that is a mark of any great entrepreneur. I have no doubt in my mind. I've seen it, lived it, tested it, invested in it. I'm a great real-life case study from the inside and from the outside.
My guest is Barbara Corcoran. You all know her as one of the sharks on Shark Tank. And Barbara, let's talk a little bit about Shark Tank. One thing that's interesting, I thought, is that in Shark Tank, each of the investors are looking to own a share of the business, but you guys are investing in equity in the business. Now, when your business started to grow and you needed money to grow, did you give away equity like those on the show, or did you borrow money to do it?
Well, the problem with small businesses is it's very hard to borrow money. You know, when you can get money from your local friendly banker, it's always in the years when you don't need any money.
Yeah.
You get the credit lines, you get the loans for expansion, because everything's jolly. But when things are bad and you have just as good an idea and maybe even more opportunity to do something special because everybody's laying low and not spending money, you'll never get the money. It's just the way of the land, right? And that's why you have new online people lending money, like OnDeck, who's actually the leader in the online lending to small businesses. But you get those opportunities now, thank God, which we didn't have back then. But what you must do, even if you get the money, is you have to spend it wisely. And I can tell you from working with many of the entrepreneurs I've invested in on Shark Tank, a lot of them don't have good business judgment. They're quick to hire a PR agency versus make a sales call.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah, they're quick to buy a fancy new car instead of funding the inventory that they're going to need if they could only believe they're really going to get a big order.
I wonder how many people you talk to are in love with the idea of being an entrepreneur, but not really in love with making a business grow.
You know what, it's not even about whether they're choosing to love or not. Everybody's in love with their idea, like the hot chick, you know, oh, she's amazing, until you marry her or him, and then you have to live day to day with another human being,
right.
Same kind of parallel.
Okay.
But what people don't know until you walk the talk is you really don't know how tough it is to build a business.
Yeah.
It's nothing but a string of obstacles and disgruntled people, really. And you have to so believe in what you're running for and so believe you're going to get there that it makes the struggle worthwhile.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I would echo you when you said you wonder how many people are in love with being entrepreneurs. Of course it's cool to be the boss. Of course it's cool to be in charge of your own destiny. But get yourself in there building a business through one tough year, and it's not so much fun at all.
So on Shark Tank, Barbara, first of all, I know you get asked this question a lot, but everybody wants to know, who's your favorite person to partner up with?
I would have to say Jim and Saban from Cousins Maine Lobster. They're 30, they're darn good looking, they flirt with me all the time in every business meeting. They even have the decency when I take photos with them to airbrush my face and send it to me so I look their age. In fact, I wouldn't have even been on to it except about 3 months ago, I'm looking at one of the photos and I'm like, wait, I don't even have a nose. What happened? That's when I realized they're doing too much airbrushing, you know?
Yeah.
They're my favorite, of course, because they're great guys.
Yeah.
And all my other favorites are people I'm in love with, more than the business. What do I know about lobster? Nothing.
Right.
Okay, I've learned. But what they are is they're great entrepreneurs.
What other shark do you like to team up with?
Oh, you just switched subjects.
I did.
Now, man, that's all right. I love teaming up with Damon because he's 150% genuine.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get. I love teaming up with Mark because he is so wicked smart in technology, which is an area that I always struggle to learn. I feel back at school and flopping on it, you know? And he has so many big bucks.
Yeah.
So having a big fish like that in your business with you is even comforting to me. He's got billions. I've got millions.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. They're my two favorites.
One of the things that Damon said that I thought was interesting, he said his least favorite was Mark because Mark's got billions. And $1 million is a rounding error to him, and he'll pay $1 million just to get you to out, you know, to walk away. He said if he lends you $20 or gives you $20, he wants to see your dental records. So
Damon. Oh my gosh, I don't know if that's actually fact, but that would fit definitely. You know what it is Mr. Wonderful adores more than anything else cash.
Yeah.
And he earned it very hard, and he's not so apt to give it away so quickly.
Yeah.
He's just a cheapskate. He's a cheapskate.
You know, but I noticed, how many deals have you done on Shark Tank approximately?
Roughly 32, 33, thereabouts.
Right.
And maybe four in the process of closing right now.
So there must have been a couple of thousand presentations. I mean, I did some math. I don't really know what the math is.
Share with me. That's a great thing for me to use. My God, I never even thought about that.
So you really keep your cards close to the vest. You know, you wait for the sweet deal and, you know, you're not really bidding on every deal. As a matter of fact, when I watch the Shark Tank, I know that a lot of times you're very quiet, you know?
Well, let me give you the truth on why I'm so quiet. Remember, there's an editor that edits to take an hour and a half and make it 5 minutes.
Yeah,
But the reason I'm quiet, I'm not blaming the editor. I'm blaming myself because I will try to talk probably 10 times for every one time that I could actually get the sentences. Because the men mow right over me. But to your earlier point, what I'm really waiting for on Shark Tank is someone to fall in love with. When I fall in love with an entrepreneur, I will buy even if I don't like their business. Because you know what I've learned in 6 years or 7 years now on Shark Tank? Is that if I have the right entrepreneur, they'll reinvent that business because that's the nature of the beast. They reinvent every day in reaction to the obstacles of their work. And so I have confidence. But if I don't love the entrepreneur, not like them, but love the entrepreneur, I don't bid on them because you know what? It never works out for me. I've learned what my MO here is.
Talking with Barbara Corcoran, of course, she is one of the sharks on the ABC hit TV show Shark Tank, but she really is also known for building a big business in a very tough environment, the Corcoran Group doing real estate in New York. You know, I was looking, as I was researching for this interview, I noticed an interview with Inc. magazine, and you gave a number of your best advice tips. I'd like to go through a few of those, if you don't mind.
I love to hear them. I always forget what comes out of
your mouth. I'll tell you. So the first one was on the topic of instinct, and here is the quote. Don't you dare underestimate the power of your own instinct.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I wholeheartedly agree with myself. You know why? If you really think about all your best life decisions, and I'm not talking about business, let's say you're working for someone in a mundane job, but think of your personal life. All of your best decisions in life were out of the gut. You know, just they are. You didn't like that guy. I don't know why. Well, you soon find out why you didn't like him after you marry him, right? Or you do business with them. Or you didn't trust this gal. I don't know, something about her is off. I feel like I can't put my finger on. Well, you're going to find out what you can't put your finger on when she becomes your best friend or whatever. You really have to listen to that inside intuition. And it's kind of weird, I think, for me. Because everything in our education system says listen to your left brain. Everything we're taught is listen, you know, analyze. A leads to B leads to C. But in real life, it doesn't work that way. A leads often to F and then jumps back to B, you know. And so the only piece of your mind that's able to grasp that and sing the truth is your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we hammer it out of ourselves in our school systems, which I'm all against, maybe because I was a lousy student. But one thing I have is great intuition on people. I am rarely, I mean, can't say always, but rarely wrong.
And you're looking for someone with street sense.
I'm looking for someone with street smarts, and you know what else I'm looking for? It might sound like a non-business trait. I'm looking for someone who's thankful. Because let's say everything goes great, we build a huge business and we sell it for millions, and I take my chunk of cash off the table one day. I want to take it off and have a partner that we hug, and we each say thank you.
Yeah.
You know, because that thankfulness gene sprinkles itself over the whole process of building that business. I have done, not often, maybe one or two Shark Tank businesses, where the minute it's going well, it's almost like people get greedy. Like, how did I miss that character flaw? What do I want to spend my time with that jerk for? And And I really want nice people. You only get to live once. You don't want to go back and wish you should have done it to somebody better. Your judgment on people is so integral to your happiness in life.
My guest is Barbara Corcoran. You all know her as one of the sharks on Shark Tank and also the founder of the Corcoran Group. And don't forget to find out more about Barbara and to hear this interview again, join the conversation at stevepomerantz.com.